Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Now, it's my great joy this morning to preach on one of my favorite texts from the Old Testament. It's in Genesis 22. You don't need to turn there now. And it says this: early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. This is a wonderful, wonderful scripture. But we've got to go back in Abraham's life to understand what is so remarkable about it. And to understand Abraham, we've got to realize that at the time he lived, there was obviously no church, but there was no synagogue, there was no temple, there was no Jerusalem as we know it, there was no Jewish faith, there were no Jewish scriptures, there was no Old Testament, there were no teachers of the word. There was nothing that we regard as a support or an environment or an encouragement to faith. There was absolutely nothing. Yet, this man, Abraham, as he was known at that time, heard God. Not only did he hear God, but he recognized the authority of God's word to him. That is remarkable when you think about it, because what he heard God tell him to do was to leave the security of what he had known and to launch out on a whole journey of what we would now call faith, not even knowing the destination to which God was going to lead him. He is known in the Bible as the father of all those who believe, because that was his first action of real faith, to step out of the known into the unknown. I've had to make several steps like that in my life and know what it means. What it involves, of course, is your trust has to be completely in the one that you have heard speaking to you. So Abraham obeyed the Lord, not knowing where God was going to lead him. And there's so much in the New Testament about Abraham, because he is the father of all who believe. And God made a series of great and wonderful promises to Abraham because he was the man of faith. He took him outside one day and told him to look at all the stars in the sky. And he gave him this wonderful promise that his seed or his inheritance, those who would follow him, come after him, would exceed in number all the vast number of stars that he could see. His descendants would be like the grains of sand on the seashore. Innumerable. And here was this man, I mean, he was 85 when God actually called him to leave the known. He was a wealthy guy. He owned a lot of sheep, cattle. He was a nomad. But going now into a territory that was completely foreign to him, with all these wonderful promises of what God was going to do. One of the problems that he was faced with is that this promise of all those who were going to become believers, just as he had become a believer, none of that could happen because he was childless. He had married Sarah, his wife. She had been barren, which was always considered to be something of a curse at that time. God, such as people knew and understand God at that time, had not blessed them with children. She was now way past the age of childbearing anyway, as was Abraham in the natural. And yet Abraham believed God, not only because he was prepared to step out in obedience to the word of God, but because he believed what God said over and above the physical circumstances. He didn't look at the physical circumstances, he looked at what God was saying, much like we heard about Noah last week. Not everybody builds an ark when there's a drought. But he believed what God had said about the coming rains. Abraham is even more significant, really, because he believed this wonderful inheritance that God was going to give him for generations because of his faith. So God spoke to him because Abraham said, well, it's fine, Lord, to have this vision of all that is going to come from my seed, all these countless numbers of stars, but I haven't even got one son. How can all this be? So God gives him the promise that he would, or his wife would, bear a son. And from that seed, all else would follow. So the scripture says he believed God. And because he believed God, both in stepping out in obedience and then believed the promise that he'd been given, he was counted as righteous before God. And so we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, are also children of Abraham. Because we are made righteous before God, not through any works of our own, but because we have believed God. So Abraham became the father of all those who are going to be made righteous, that is, totally acceptable in God's sight, because they believed what he said, and for us, what he accomplished in Jesus. So we have this in common with Abraham. That although, of course, at that time there was no Jesus, there was no cross, there was no bloodshed for salvation, yet still he was considered righteous before God because of his faith. And that helps us to understand that nobody is actually acceptable to God and counted as righteous just because of the sacrifice of Jesus, just because of the cross, just because he shed his blood. They are only counted acceptable and righteous before him because they have put their faith in the cross and in the blood and in what Jesus has done. It is that faith in the grace of God, faith in the salvation that he has made possible, that brings us to the place of acceptance. So we are accepted by God, not through any works of our own, but entirely by faith. So now we have this promise of the Son. And both Abraham and Sarah are past the age of natural, when you would naturally expect that to happen. And year by year, nothing did happen. For many years. So Sarah conceived a plan. She thought God might need a little bit of assistance to see the promise fulfilled. So she offered Abraham her servant, her young servant woman, that he would lie with her and that she would conceive a son with him. And Abraham obviously took one look at Hagar and thought, this is a good idea. So he obliged his wife, and Hagar duly became pregnant, which immediately created a crisis, because now Sarah was jealous because Hagar had conceived and all through these years she had not been able to conceive. And Ishmael was duly born. But to God, the fulfillment of the promise had not yet come, because Ishmael was the product, if you like, of the natural, not of the supernatural activity of God. He was not the child of promise. And so God had to make this clear to Abraham, and that he had to hold fast to the promise that Sarah would bear the child, not Sarah's servant woman. So ultimately, 25 years after the promise of the child was given, Sarah became pregnant and Isaac was born. If you ever think you've been kept waiting for the fulfillment of a promise of God, just remember how long Abraham waited for Isaac. And the scripture says that actually he didn't waver in that time in believing that the promise would be fulfilled. This is faith. Even though he, you know, colluded with Isaac and Ishmael was born, still, because he was his issue, God really prayed that he would bless Ishmael. But as we know, you know, we still live with the inheritance of the conflict between Ishmael and Isaac. So it just shows you it's never wise to step out of God's best purposes and think that you can assist him in some way. He is quite capable of working out his will for himself. So Isaac is born, this child of promise. This child through whom all these promises that God had given to Abraham, were going to be fulfilled. There were going to be generation after generation after generation. Not of Jews, but of believers. That was the promise of God. Because what he said to Abraham is that those believers would come from many nations. Jesus was not just initiating a Jewish dynasty through Abraham. he was going to be the father of the believers of many nations. And of course, that is what Jesus came to fulfill, to make possible. And God had given as a sign of the relationship that he had with Abraham, this sign of a covenant. The covenant that he was giving was that he was going to bless him and he would bless his children and he would bless all those who were these inheritors of faith. And that sign of circumcision was the sign of this covenant, of this promise that God had given. You see, the scripture makes clear that circumcision had nothing to do with the law. It was given long, long time before the law that was given through Moses. That came much later, and you'll be hearing about that in a few weeks, no doubt. So here we have God entering this covenant. He's going to bless Abraham. He's going to bless all his descendants. He's going to be the father of many nations. And none of it could happen without a son. Ishmael didn't fit the bill because it had to be a son that was going to be born through Abraham and Sarah, his wife. So finally, after these 25 years, Sarah becomes pregnant and bears the son Isaac. How wonderful God is. Totally supernatural. Remember, she was barren as well as very old by now. But God's word was fulfilled, as of course it always is. And how, you know, although Abraham loved Ishmael as well, how this must have been for Abraham the fulfillment of all that God had said to him over the years. He no doubt doted on this son of his. Conscious that all these wonderful promises of God, that whole nations were going to be blessed through Isaac and those who would come after him in successive generations. So imagine what it was like. The day Abraham heard that voice that he knew so well, say to him, take your son, your only son, to God. You see, he was the only son of Isaac and Sarah. Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. None of these wonderful promises could be fulfilled except through Isaac. Now God says to him, go to Moriah, which is about 3 days' journey. Take him and sacrifice him. You probably heard him during the night time, because the next verse says, early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. That's why this is such a wonderful scripture to me. What faith! All these promises were dependent upon Isaac. And now God says to Abraham, sacrifice him. The epistle to the Hebrews helps us to understand what was going on in Abraham. It says that Abraham reasoned. Now, here is something very, very important. Abraham was a man of faith. And faith needs reason. Because what reason does is to take the word of faith, understand it, turn it into a decision so that the faith becomes an action. The problem for many people, even many church-going people, is that they have reversed the whole situation. And what they do is they act by their reason, not by faith. So reason actually restricts faith if you base what you do on what you think. You have actually totally misused your reason when you do that. Your reason is to be the servant of your faith. In other words, you have to have a faith mentality so that reason says, how am I to respond to this word of faith? Sadly, in these days, many follow reason rather than faith because they don't have that real heart and deposit of faith within them, even though they would call themselves born-again, spirit-filled Christians. Not all live by that dynamic of faith. But you see, Abraham had that dynamic of faith. So his reason didn't say, no, that can't be God. He wouldn't want me to do that. He didn't raise his reason above the word of faith. But he reasoned. Now, if God said that through Isaac and his successive generations, all these wonderful promises I've been given have been fulfilled, and he's now telling me to sacrifice Isaac, that must mean that he will raise Isaac from the dead in order that all those promises will be fulfilled. You see, that's faith reasoning. Not natural reasoning, it's faith reasoning. And because he reasoned with faith, early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took some servants with him and traveled the 3 days to what we now know as Jerusalem, where the area of Mount Moriah. And when they got there, he left the servants behind with the donkey, and he got Isaac, who we can't be quite sure how old he was, probably a teenager, young teenager, that sort of age, because he carried the wood that was actually going to be laid on the altar of sacrifice. Now, Isaac must have been someone who had inherited from Abraham this dynamic of faith. Because as a teenager and Abraham was now very advanced in years. He could have controlled the situation if he'd chosen to. But when they came and to the place of sacrifice, Isaac says to Abraham, "Well, where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham lays Isaac on the altar. Or Isaac allows Abraham to lay him on the altar. And of course, the sacrifice was usually tied down and then was killed before being offered as a burnt sacrifice. And Abraham's got the knife in hand. This is no expectation that at the last moment he won't have to do it. He's ready to kill Isaac. And of course, it's God himself who intervenes, that voice that Abraham knows so well. And stops him. And there, with its horns caught in a thicket, was the ram that they could sacrifice instead. But he was ready to do it. Because, you see, he believed God. And he reasoned that God would have to raise him from the dead in order to fulfill his promise. Because it was totally inconceivable to Abraham that this voice that he knew so well to be the voice of God could ever lie, could ever be wrong, would ever deceive him. That every word he spoke was true, every promise he gave would be fulfilled. Such a man of faith that God had even appeared to him as Melchizedek. And when Melchizedek came to him, you remember in Hebrews talks about Jesus being a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. But Abraham worshipped him and realizing that he was the angel of God, the messenger of God, Jesus in some form or manifestation, however you want to understand this encounter with Melchizedek. He gave him a tenth of all he had. This is the origin of the tithe. The tithe's got nothing to do with the law, just as circumcision has got nothing to do with the law. Both came out of the foundation of faith. That because Abraham was in awe of who God was, he not only understood that every word he spoke was true, but he was worthy to receive the first tenth of all he had as an offering. And just as we are the children of faith, the children of Abraham, the children that have been made righteous by faith, so we are the children who still give the tithe to the Lord, because we live in awe and fear of who he is, and we acknowledge the first tenth of all we receive belongs to the Lord, and we're stewards of the other 90% for his glory. Isn't it amazing how many of these deep and profound truths that were then encapsulated in the law under Moses, and then all the way through the era of the prophets and on into the New Testament times, and then on to the life of the church, which has now existed for 2,000 years. You've got to go back 4,000 years to come to the time of Abraham. But during those 4,000 years, these same principles have been in operation ever since. Still, the only thing that counts in God's eyes is that faith that makes us righteous and acceptable in God's sight. Still, all these years later, we are part of this generational blessing of God. Jesus says that he will be known for all time. God will be known for all time, as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God of Colin and Clive and Joe. You see, all the promises of God are given to us, to our children, and to our children's children. That's what the scripture says. Because if you have that dynamic of faith, you pass that faith on, not just to your firstborn. It's not just, as far as Clive is concerned, to Joe, but to Joe, to Toby, to Megan. And then to their children. And then if Jesus hasn't come again by then, to their children's children. But they're the same promises that were given to Abraham 4,000 years ago. And the amazing thing is that Jesus came to sacrifice his life. This was the son who was not let off at the last moment, like Isaac was. But this was the son that had to go right the way through the time of sacrifice. But Abraham had the reasoning of God, just like Jesus. He knew that he would be raised on the third day. So he could go through that knowing that all the promises that God had given would be fulfilled. The devil thought at last he'd accomplished in killing Jesus, instead of coming to understand that actually Jesus had just overcome the devil. Had overcome death, had overcome all sin, had overcome all sickness and every need by his triumph on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Praise God. You know, I remember the day still. When Sharon came to see me and saddled her donkey. Yes, she did. And she talked about going to South Africa and what God had laid on her heart and what did I think about it and how would it all work out and all the rest of it. And you see, God brings us all to moments like that where he speaks to us. Perhaps something that is way beyond anything that we had expected. Anything that we ever thought we would be able to accomplish. But if you have that faith in your heart, that faith that makes you totally acceptable in God's sight, then that faith informs your reason. Reason doesn't deny the faith. But you reason. Well, if God has called me to do this, he will enable me to do it. Amen. I can remember very early on in the revival in Luton, God speaking to me one day and saying, your voice will be heard among the nations, and if you do not speak, my people will not hear. I had no vision of going to nations, no desire to travel, couldn't possibly foresee how a word like that could ever be fulfilled. So I said nothing. I didn't even say anything to my wife because I knew she wouldn't be able to handle it at that time, just as I didn't know how to handle it. But I knew in my heart of hearts, well, if that is what God says, that is what God will do. And I stand before you 40-something years after he said that, knowing that he's done it. But you see, this is it when God speaks, not when you hear what you want to hear and call it the voice of God, but when God truly speaks, he will fulfill whatever he says. But you can be sure that when God speaks to you, there's always the challenge of faith to believe what he says and to act upon it. Just close your eyes. Thank the Lord that you are saved by faith. Yes, Jesus did the work, but that work could not have impacted your life until you believed. And Jesus is the author of our faith, but you had to actually exercise that faith. So thank the Lord that he's given you saving faith. Thank him that that faith has made you righteous or acceptable in God's sight. You have become a child of God. And Abraham is your father, not your heavenly father, but the father of your faith. So thank him that all the promises that were given to Abraham are given to you and to your seed. That you are part of the fulfillment of those promises, that from generation to generation, God will bless a special people who belong to him. And that finally, those people will inherit the nations. When there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. Just thank the Lord that he's made you part of that whole process. He planned it. Even before he spoke to Abraham over 4,000 years ago, he spoke that purpose into being. You are part of that ongoing purpose. Now, are you ready to say to the Lord this morning, I want to remain faithful to the purpose that you have for me? To keep walking by faith, not by reason. But Lord, I submit my reason to be the servant of my faith. That when you speak to me, I won't reason away what you say, but you will give me the wisdom to use my reason to see how to put your word to me into effect. So that then what you promise as a response, as a result of that faith, will be fulfilled. Come on, just pray that right now. So that all the purposes of God for you are going to be fulfilled. thank you, Jesus. Now, just keep your eyes closed. Ask God to forgive all your Ishmaels. Yeah, you've had them. Not quite in the same way as Abraham, but there have been those times when you've tried to help God instead of just obey what he said. There's been those times, haven't there, when you've given birth to disastrous things, if you're honest, because you did them in your own strength, with your own wisdom, and not as the result of faith in what God had said. Well, praise God, he doesn't condemn you, but he's ready to forgive you. So you don't have to go into a lot of detail. Just say, Lord, please forgive all my Ishmaels. All those times when really I've been deceived by trusting in myself rather than trusting in the word of faith that you have spoken over my life. And thank you, Lord, that you have brought me through all those to the fulfillment of truly your word. Thank you that I'm a child of the truth. And now I can walk in the truth and see all the promises of the truth being fulfilled in my life. Praise your holy name, Lord. Come on, just really thank him. Praise him. This is his mercy. This is his grace. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Now, just keep your eyes closed. There's one more area. You see, Abraham gave not only a tenth of all he had, he gave his most precious possession, his son Isaac. Have you withheld anything from the Lord? Or do you recognize that all that you count precious is given to him, so that he is Lord over every aspect of your life? When you give things to the Lord, it isn't necessarily that he would take them from you. He didn't take Isaac. But Isaac became consecrated on that day in a fresh way. Is all that you count precious consecrated to the Lord? Because you know the Lord and honor him for who he is? Are you faithful in the tithe, in the first tenth, belonging to the Lord, as well as whatever freewill offerings you give? You see, that is not just law. The tithe existed before the law. It's got nothing to do with the law. It's got to do with being a person of faith. That if I honor God, he will honor me. That whatever I give, he will give back abundantly, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. If I am faithful in the handling of my resources, he will give me far more resources because he knows I can be trusted. Hallelujah. Can you thank the Lord that his purpose for you is to prosper in his ways? That as you seek first the kingdom of God and that righteousness that is by faith alone, everything else will be added to you. Just thank him for that.
Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. Thank you that you want me to see the principle of multiplication being outworked in my own life personally as well as within your body. So I give you all the glory, I give you all the honor and the praise. I thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. And lastly, whatever God has said to you, not only this morning, but whatever word you are carrying in your heart that you know God has spoken to you, whatever promises he's given you, thank him that as he is the author and perfecter of your faith, and you walk by faith in what he has said, so those words will be fulfilled, the promises will be made good, and God will do everything that he has said. Just thank him now for that. He is not a man that he would lie. Hallelujah. And I believe that God has been reminding some people here of things that he's wanted them to do that have required you stepping out with faith, and you haven't really done that as yet, which is why God's got you here listening to this message this morning. And what you realize is that you've got to go from here and saddle your donkey. You've got to take the first step that you need to take in order to fulfill this word of faith that God has given you. That's the significance of him saddling his donkey. He said, right, I've got to get on with it. First thing I need to do is saddle the donkey. So what's the first thing you need to do to respond to that word that God has given you? If you're not sure how to do it, then the Holy Spirit will help you if you ask him to. He will show you. But just thank the Lord that you're going to step out in what the scriptures calls the obedience of faith. The obedience of love is the obedience of faith. The obedience of faith is the obedience of love. You can't separate them really. So thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Just lift your hands and praise him. Lord, we thank you. How wonderful to be part of this vast, vast purpose that you have, that you are working out in successive generations. And thank you, Lord, that we are part of that, that you said Abraham would be the father of many nations. Thank you, Lord, that we're all part of that glorious purpose that you revealed 4,000 years ago, and you are going to see fully accomplished when Jesus comes again. And we just give you all the glory and the honor in his mighty, wonderful name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.